Hello, everyone. It's Lori Burris with the Catch a Pocket Podcast. And tonight, episode 14, I'm speaking with Krista Rude Vazeos. She is a model, an international model. And she talks about what she's doing now. She's been around the world and has some really great stories. She's got a lot of cool stuff going on in September, and it's right now September 2019. I hope you guys are hearing this in time, but if not, stick around anyways and listen to Krista. She has some cool stories and just interesting all-around guest. Thanks for coming in, and without further ado, Krista Rude Vazeos. I'm here with Krista Vazeos.
Krista Rude Vazeos, yeah.
What's the rude about?
Well, I think once you're rude, you're always rude. No, that's...
There's a story there. Is that your maiden name?
That is my maiden name.
Mm-hmm. Rude is your maiden name. Mm-hmm. And it's not Rude or anything.
No, but my sister tried to hyphenate the E because she was sick of everybody telling her how rude she was.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. No, we were definitely a rude household.
Okay, and Krista, you do fashion modeling, and you also are an advisor for fashion and things like that. But let's start with your growing up here. So were you born here in Wichita?
Right. So, yeah, I'm an international model mm-hmm. of 32 plus years.
Awesome.
I started at the age of 16, and I'm now 48 years old. Nice. I'm still working the runway and shooting in Splurge magazine, which is out this month. And
awesome.
So I'm a model mentor, international model.
Okay. And so when you were born here in Wichita,
born and raised, went through the whole public school system, Mueller Elementary.
Really?
I was bused for an hour each way.
Your parents lived where in Wichita when that happened?
In the center of town, so okay. Close to College Hill, let's say. It's Schweider East.
Do they still live there today?
No.
Okay.
No. But so I went through Mueller, went to Mead Junior High, and graduated from East High.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, actually have interviewed a lot of people that went to East High.
It's a great school.
It's beloved.
Architectural Digest dubbed it the number one most beautiful high school in Kansas.
Yeah. I believe it is beautiful. It is beautiful. I like North High a lot too. North High has a lot of nice lines in it and stuff. But East is cool, and old hardwood floors and things like that.
Mm-hmm. My daughter, cool. She's 16 now, and she's attending East High. And when I brought her back, we've spent the majority of our lives have been overseas, and I still have a house in Greece. But we came back, you know, always to visit family periodically when she was younger. And I'd take her by East, and I'm like, it would be so great if we could get you to be the fifth generation in my family to go to East. And she's like, oh, Mom, it looks scary. It looks like Harry Potter or something. And so she went inside. Oh, yuck, I could never. Now I can't take her away from it. She's in there. She's involved, and she loves the diversity. It is comfort to her to have open, empathetic people. And she said it's fabulous to be in a school of 2,200 people where every day she's finding somebody new. And isn't that what life is, too?
Yeah, it sure is.
How do we deal with that?
It's a great big school, but they manage to do it very beautifully with the diversity and mm-hmm. different. I mean, 2,200, you said?
2,200.
Wow.
And the teachers, the staff, everybody is, I don't know, especially in her senior year, she's seeing how the teachers are collaborating with the seniors, and it's just a great atmosphere. And
yep.
I'm so excited for her because in the 1989, it was the same experience for me.
Really?
Mm.
That is wonderful to hear. And you're in your teen years, you were at East High and you had a great experience there. So you're kind of reliving that with your daughter. And so did you go to college here in Wichita, or what happened maybe?
So, okay. Let's back up into middle school.
Okay, sure.
You know, I was always the tallest in my class, and okay. Boys
how
came
tall
up.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'11" okay. and 3/4".
Okay, awesome.
And so, really, actually, I think in middle school, I was kind of the same height, more or less. I hadn't grown much more than I am I think I was at that height. So the assistant principal saw me, you know, hunched over. I'm trying to get down to the level where all the boys are and where all my friends are. And
right.
She was like, come over here. She's like, I think you, have you ever thought of modeling? I was just like, yeah, it would be great to model, but, you know, that's not where I am thinking. How would you do that in Wichita and everything? She said, right. Well, I know this woman who is just starting up modeling classes, Marianne Vansickle. Mm-hmm. And maybe you would like to try it. It's something called Models and Images, and it's just starting.
Huh.
And yeah. So I was like, okay. So it was very expensive at $300 to do these classes. And my parents at the time were like, oh, that's really sweet, but we're never going to spend this money for it. Well, they got to talking. So then the vice principal got my parents on board, and I started taking these classes. And we went through several years. But long story short, there was a scout that Marianne brought into town, and he was from Powers. Mm-hmm. And he saw me over all these other people as I got older and was going into East High. Over other kids that were probably locally thought to be the person that would be a model and all this.
Right.
He's telling me. And so he took me over to Powers with my mom as a chaperone at 16.
Wow.
And we tried it out.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was going through the trial experience of that month, this owner of the agency said, we see you have some possibility for a future in international modeling, but you need to quit school and you need to stay in Powers. Your mom can go home. So my mom was like, well, this is your choice, Krista.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you yes or no. But and then years later, I was like, Mom, did you really mean that? You were going to let me stop school. She's like, oh, heck to the no. I was going to do that. You were coming home with me.
Right.
But I was going to let you think you were going to have this choice.
Right.
She's like, if you decide, you know, back when I was 16, she said, if you decide to stay, you will not get the opportunity to continue on the Pompon Squad at East. And you will not ever have prom. And your best right. friends will go on to college. And you won't have these experiences that you're having today. So this is the moment of where you really are in your life.
Mm-hmm.
This is your choice. Are you ready to be an adult, or do you want to keep staying,
being a kid?
Yeah. And still growing and enriching with your community that you have. So I was like, Pompon, Paris, what shall I do? Pompon won.
All right.
So I went back to East. And nice. It was fabulous because the principal there at East had said, when I had the opportunity to go back, because when I said I was going back to East, the lady Giselle, the head of the agency, she's like, Krista, modeling doesn't wait for you. You know, the fashion industry doesn't wait for you. We're changing every day. And I was like, she's like, we might not want you when you graduate from high school. And I was like, okay, that's great. Well, thank you for the experience. And
right.
I went home.
Cool.
Well, she stayed after me. And mm-hmm. so I wound up the day after graduation at East High, I went full time.
Okay.
But during my senior year, they were still calling me, and Dr. Longhofer at the time, he was the principal. He was very vocal with mm-hmm. letting USD 259 let these young professionals, really, mm-hmm. people who have these early onset of careers, opportunities,
right.
such as athletes or international models, let's say, to go abroad and
right.
start your career, but still stay in school. So there was no internet back in the 80s, back
right.
in 1988.
Exactly.
But I managed by post. I had three classes with East High, first semester, senior year, while I was living on the Champs-Élysées in Powers.
Wow.
Posting back, you know, real geography right. class assignments. And,
wow.
So that
cool.
was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's
I got
amazing.
The best of both worlds, and that's how my whole 30-plus year career started,
okay.
with the help from the Wichita community.
Wow, and it sounds like a real champion in the principal of East High at the time.
Oh, he's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
That's awesome. So you would consider him a role model, or do you have...
Absolutely, to this day.
Right.
And I'll run into him in the supermarket, and I just can't wait to give him a big hug. You know,
he still lives here in Wichita.
He still lives here in College Hill, and he's a friend on Facebook as other teachers uh-huh. from that period.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, they're mentors.
I have some teacher friends still too that I went to high school with, because they are your mentors and they do shape your life. And I don't think they realize how really much they do that.
And you know, people like that, personalities such as that, when they have an opportunity to help somebody else. What does that do to that person? What did it do to me?
Right.
It made me, in return, want to come back to my roots.
Right.
And
that's
I want
kind of
to,
why you're here, is to champion other people and kind of
if
help
I can,
encourage.
If there's something that I can be of an influence or share of the experiences that I have had, and to let them know that the world is for them.
Right.
It's what are we going to do with it, and how are we going to develop this, and definitely, how are we going to develop ourselves so that we can be the best for right. our community?
Totally agree with that. So let's go to your 20s and 30s. So you've graduated from East High, and you were in Paris at the time. So then what developed from there?
Okay, so the day after graduation, I went with packed bags over to Paris, dropped a couple bags, and then I had a contract to jump over to Japan.
Oh, wow.
So this is kind of was how my next decade was to be, or two decades, basing out of a certain market such as Paris. Paris, for me, is the hub for any girl who wants to push her career in, or wants to try to aspire to be a fashion model. The fashion base for women is Paris. The fashion base for men is Milan.
Okay.
But so I dropped some bags there in an apartment and head over to Japan under contract for 1 month. And then, you know, still working with Paris, they're sending me and organizing me that I'm to jump over to Spain for a couple days. I work with this client. And so I have an agent, but then there's all these different clients that they would send me out for bookings.
Okay.
So basically, my life and my career was living out of a suitcase.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you learned how to do that pretty well.
Very exciting life. Lots of experiences that I'm sharing in a blog that I do now. But it was
What's that called?
It's called Tumbleweed, the Sunflower series. So Tumbleweed, you know, how we have a tumbleweed who drifts all around.
Sure.
A little bit rough on the edges, but right. it's still beautiful, and it goes fast and far. Well, that kind of represented me. I'm coming from Kansas. I'm a normal Kansas girl who got an opportunity, and I just drifting around where I need to go.
And you blog about stories about that now?
Personal experiences through my teenage years and early adult years, and how it's developed me into a global citizen that I am today.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an exciting experiences and very, very lonely at the same time.
Right. So. I can see that because if you're not anywhere where you can put down roots, it's hard to get real close to people.
Well, for example, I'm in Japan, and I got over there by myself. My agent is sending me around, and I'm going from one agent to the other. So it is safe in a retrospect because it's all by recommendations. However, I'm on my own.
Mm-hmm.
An earthquake hits, something I thought I'll never have in Kansas. We have earthquakes all the time nowadays, but at the time, never had an earthquake experience. And I just thought that would be really fun. I would love to be a part of it, see what it's like. So I'm in Japan, sitting in my apartment by myself, and all of a sudden, you know, I see the toilet bowl in the bathroom swishing with water back and forth. And I'm excited, but I'm afraid. I'm like, oh, what the heck do I do now?
I couldn't
make an international call from the phone in the apartment. So I run down to the street, and I'm looking at the people, the Japanese people, they're so used to it. You know, they're just like normal and calm, but they're wavering. They can't make a straight line because the earthquake's sending them back and forth.
Sure.
So I go into the little call box, pre-cell phone time.
Right.
And I'm calling my mom. I'm like, Mom, I'm in the middle of an earthquake. What do I do? And she's like, I don't know what you're going to do. Can you imagine being a mom and having your, you know, 18-year-old saying, Mom, I'm in a, you know, a disaster, natural disasters around me. Okay, I got to go. Bye. And she's like,
Yeah, exactly. But, freak out time.
Yeah, that's fun.
So the enrichment that you receive from the world, basically, and whatnot, what is one of the most profound lessons that you learned, you know, being abroad?
Probably that people are the same wherever you go.
Okay.
We dance to different drum beats, yet our faces are cooled by the same wind. We are different, yet our differences combined make a harmonious sound. So that's something of a Native American saying that it's always sat with me every time I go to another country. Yeah, we have different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
We might like rock music, or we like classic music, or maybe we're this religion and we're that religion.
Mm-hmm.
But we are still in the same environment, and it's important that we take care of it.
Right.
When we are different, and when we have these different perspectives, when we can share these perspectives with each other, it kind of makes us stronger people and more interesting as a person, because having these I mean, that's what these family atmospheres are set right. up as. We have children, we have a father, we have a mother, and we are also incredibly different, right? Mm-hmm.
Very much.
But when we're together and we're sharing and we're kind of feeling what this other person's feeling, what they're going through, it's making us more of a well-rounded person, yeah. I think. So I think the home base is a reflection of the world itself.
Oh, sure.
We are all family, and we need to take care of each other.
Yes.
So here's an example. When I'm living in Greece, I still have my house in Greece, and the Greeks and the Turks don't get along. Okay. They're rivals, and they're always constantly, you know, talking war. We're going to go fight each other. They share the same type of coffee. A Turkish coffee is a Greek coffee. Mm-hmm. A Greek souvlaki is the same as these kebabs or whatever the Turks are mm-hmm. eating. It's the same. Well, here's an earthquake that happens, a traumatic earthquake in Turkey that devastated a village. Mm-hmm. And it's close to Greece, you know, it's like a stone throw away from Greece.
Right.
But these village people, these conservative Greek older people who are set in the mind frame that they are rivals of Turkey and Turkey's bad and da-da-da, right. they're looking and they get on the news and they're donating their blankets and the things that are important in their household to some of these people who have lost everything. Right. And so the newscast goes over there and they're like, why are you helping them? They're Turks. And she's like, we're all God's children.
Yeah.
You know, we're all the same people,
right.
and we all have these same needs and fears,
yeah.
and at the end of the day, we got to help each other.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And if you were suffering, would you want someone to help you or just watch you lay there and die, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know. And so, unfortunately, it'll happen on a local level. So yeah. sometimes we got to step out of our cars instead of getting in the garage, and we got to help our neighbor.
Correct. I think so, too. I'm always there. You know, I'm trying to help, and I hope everyone else is too.
So my life going through fashion,
mm-hmm.
I get the fun stuff. I get Karl Lagerfeld. I got to meet Yves Saint Laurent and Givenchy and these amazing designers who really lead the fashion industry worldwide. Before they passed away, I got the opportunity to work one-on-one with these people in these yes. houses. And this blog, the Tumbleweed, the Sunflower series, through yes. Facebook, through Instagram, look me up, because I'm sharing these stories of
right.
how I intermixed with these people, but observing these people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got the fashion. We love fashion. We love to buy these clothes, but I really like to see how these people tick. Why are they creating the way they do?
Right.
How are they influenced? Well, Karl Lagerfeld, the icon of all time in fashion, he was so, meeting him,
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh my, I waited 6 hours for that man at Chanel. And I thought, okay, I don't care if you're the president of the United States. I'm not waiting another hour for this person. Well, mm-hmm. and he blows in. And getting to meet him, I was like, oh, you are well worth waiting a week for if I
yeah.
have to. He was incredibly down to earth.
Yeah.
So a man who he knows people should just bow down left and right, especially in the fashion industry.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He was just down to earth, low key, talking yeah. to you as if he's known you forever,
right.
but interested into what you're interested into, and seeing the different people that he would intermix with that would not be in his normal lifestyle as a German man living in France. He'd go out to the bikers, and he went to the shopping malls,
right.
and he came to Dallas to chat with people.
Right.
But then he took all these things that and beauty that he saw in these different types of people, and he digested it into his persona, and out comes this new collection from Chanel that everybody's
right.
cuckoo about. But what was it? It was an influence of somebody who maybe is not a top icon person in
right.
the fashion industry. He brought other elements into it. And that is what makes life so interesting, is we are constant innovators.
Right. I think so, too. It's like you're taking ideas that other people have, but then improving them and then moving into another direction or realm, or maybe taking two different types and styles and mixing them together.
And making something beautiful, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Taking the blue and the yellow and making green.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And different kinds of green. Even.
So this last story that I blogged about on a personal experience was going to the house of Givenchy, another high fashion designer in Paris, and feeling too fat. Mm. Feeling too fat as a tall, 5'11", size 4 female
yeah.
who's 18 or 17, and feeling fat. So I was like, I went in and it was this first woman I had to meet at the casting that had, she took my measurements, and then I had to pass her with the proper measurements, mm-hmm. bust, waist, hips, before I could go upstairs to the atelier, to the studio where Mr. Givenchy is and uh-huh. His entourage. So I had to get through this woman, this little short French woman, before I could get up there. Mm-hmm. Well, she wouldn't let me go because she's like, vous êtes trop grosse pour le monsieur. You're too fat for the monsieur.
Oh, no.
I was like, I'm so sorry. I'll go back to my hole wherever I am. You know, I just felt awful. Right? I felt awful. I felt fat. And, you know, then I just went on with my life. There were some other designers. And I made some publicity for Yves Saint Laurent. And Givenchy saw this, himself mm-hmm. saw this. And he's like, that girl. I want that girl. Mm-hmm. Well, this short fat lady, or short French lady, was like, but she's too fat for you, you know, kind of thing. Right. And he's like, no, I want her.
Yeah.
He is the creative, the unusual.
Right.
And she was the usual following orders, bless her heart.
Right.
You know, nothing against her. These sure. were the measurements that where she could let the other people go on.
Right.
She didn't have this vision. He had the vision.
Right.
So he went all over Paris looking, calling for this little girl from Kansas. You know, I want her. And so finally got back to my agency and they were like, Krista, you have to go back to Givenchy. I was like, no, please. I felt fat. I felt awful. I don't like feeling this way. Right. I am not fat.
Right.
But he thinks that, and he's like, no, not him. He wants you. She thought this.
Right.
We don't care about her. You have to go back. I'm like, but I have to go back to her. So anyways, I went back.
Uh-huh.
They sent me back. And I was ready. I was holding my head low, ready to be told that I'm fat again. And I can't go to see Monsieur Givenchy. And I'll hold my head low and pass all these other beautiful girls waiting to get back in there.
Right,
and,
sure.
you know, my worth is fabulous right now. So I go back there. And the French lady was there with her little spectacles on looking up at me. And she's like, vous êtes trop grosse pour le monsieur, mais il veut se voir quand même. You're too fat for the monsieur, but he wants to see you all the same.
Oh, my.
I was like, I'm so sorry, okay,
and, I'll go upstairs. And how old were you then?
Oh, I think I was about 18.
That would be 18, so 19 hard years. On
exactly,
someone.
And that's why I'm blogging about this. I want girls to know that even somebody such as myself that someone might think is something interesting can feel this way.
Yeah,
sure. And somebody can tell you in a second, and... You know, anyway, so I'm like, okay, I'll go on up. And I go up there and then I see this beautiful salon, people getting ready. They have the show in a couple days. The clothes are almost ready. They're all hand-stitched, you know, mm-hmm. and each, like, one skirt's probably $1,500 or $2,000 yeah. skirt. So I get in there and I'm feeling all nervous and I see Audrey Hepburn's hat from, you know, Breakfast at Tiffany's uh-huh. over to the right. And so that, I diverted my attention over there because I'm in love with Audrey and
sure.
all what she's about. Anyway, so Mr. Givenchy comes over to me. And Givenchy, by the way, he did all of her clothes and all of her movies.
Right.
And they became great friends. And so anywho,
amazing.
It's super exciting that mm-hmm. I'm getting to be a part of all of this interesting atmosphere. So he comes over to me and he says, you know, where are you from? I'm like, hello. You know, I'm trying to speak my broken French to him. And mm-hmm. he's like, you come from where? And I'm like, I'm from Kansas. And he slammed his hand on that table. And I was like, oh, and everybody else turned. And they're like, what did this little girl do to this? Our Monsieur Givenchy. And he's like, why is it all the women I love are from America? And so everybody's just, ooh, you could just yeah. feel in stereo the sighs come down.
Right.
And so then they're all frivolously working again. So he's coming over to me and he says, try on this dress for me, please, if you can, or this skirt. So I put on this skirt, knowing I'm going to be fat. So I'm getting undressed in yeah. front of the whole atelier of Whoa. People. And it doesn't matter. Nobody cares about no. me being, you
Naked
know, without. Exactly. Because they're so busy and you know,
it's
getting
kind of
the clothes
the
ready.
It goes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You cannot feel any, you know, being afraid of your body in this situation. Anyways, I am, though, because I'm told I'm fat yeah. for the monsieur, right? Sure. So they put on this, I put the skirt on, and the waistline doesn't go past
Uh-oh.
My hips.
Uh-oh.
It's stuck. And the whole atelier is kind of looking at me.
Your butt's hanging out.
Yes, and I'm like, and I told them, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for them to tell me I'm too fat and you need to leave and da da da. So I was like, okay, I'm so sorry, it doesn't fit. Uh-huh. I will leave now. And he's like, wait, hold on. So he has these scissors around his neck.
He cuts it.
He cuts up the sides to where there's like maybe a 3-inch gap or on each side of uh-huh. the, and like white skin hanging out of whatever. So it goes over, but uh-huh. it has that gash on each side. And he looks at me up and down. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, oh God, this is embarrassing. And he's like, okay, she'll wear this. This will mm-hmm. be her outfit. Next outfit, Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh my, he's going to remake Couple Days, full on stress. You know, the countdown mm-hmm. is on. But now they have to remake this, hand stitch this, right. You know, okay, it's a lot of work. So the tailor, the head tailor lady behind him, she was scowling at me, you know, another usual,
sure.
because she's following the order. She's not the creative thinking outside the box he is. And he's mm-hmm. like, okay, next outfit. So they did this about 6 times of me having to go through somebody who fit this, who was like a tiny little hanger and trying to get it over my hips and, you know, whatever right. it is. I had that. And that was my first Givenchy, and actually I found it on YouTube. It's also on my blog, the video okay. of me in the show
cool.
with these fabulous other girls.
YouTube?
Yes. It's also on my blog.
Okay.
On that so tumbleweed.
The link to the YouTube is on mm-hmm. your blog?
Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
And that's called again, what?
It's called Tumbleweed, the Sunflower Series for Facebook on okay. Instagram. I think it's Tumbleweed Krista Rudvazeos.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So check that out, guys.
Yeah, check it out. It has story after story with images.
I can't wait. I'm going to check it out more. I kind of paroused it a little bit while we were talking.
There's so many designers who have different personalities. And, you know, I want to blog about some of the Japanese designers and how that flow went and how I say embarrassing things when I'm trying to learn languages. And I have a talent for literally saying bad words. on accident, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm trying to speak a language or trying to say
you
something.
You convert a regular word into a vulgar word? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, so I was in Paris at a cafe and a restaurant, and I'm so proud to be ordering in French, and the server is going to be, he's like, what do you take? And I wanted to order the duck. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm supposed to say, je vais prendre le canard, and I'm sorry if I say it wrong, but canard. Canard is duck. Mm-hmm. And instead I said, je vais prendre le canard, s'il vous plaît. So I basically said, I will take the bastard.
Oh,
and good. He was like, oh my God, you know, you're going to take. He goes, ah bon, vous prenez le canard alors. But canard sounds the same to me. Tomato, tomato.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So yeah, there's this.
See, I don't even tell the difference.
I can't see the difference. Oh my God. Japan, it's Milan, okay. all these places. I was doing things like that. But you just take it with. You know, it's just humor.
Yeah, it's a learning experience.
It certainly
so
is.
You don't call it the canard anymore.
It's the canard, not the conard, people.
Yeah, so, I mean, lesson learned. You don't take the bastard unless you want, you know. There is a good saying about a bastard and taking a bastard. Or...
Can I say one more story?
Sure.
With language? It. All right, so I was in Japan, and I was doing the tour with Chanel through Japan. Where we're traveling around and doing the Chanel show for Japanese clients. And okay. so at the end of this month of traveling throughout Japan, we had a party, and, you know, Japanese love karaoke. So there was the karaoke and all this. Well, we had to do a toast before mm-hmm. we started our karaoke, and they say kanpai, mm-hmm. you know, which is, you know, toast. And mm-hmm. I just came over from Milan, and we were saying chin chin. Mm-hmm. Salute, I guess you would say in Milano. But I said, so they said, kanpai, everybody. And I go, yes, chin chin. And the clients of Chanel were like, oh, kote-chan, no, you don't say that here.
What?
What's and I was chin-chin? Like, why? So it's the male part.
Oh.
Private part. And I yelled that out in front of all the Chanel clients. I was like,
chin-chin.
Chin-chin! They're like, oh, kuti-chan. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's just, you learn these words.
Well, who knew chin-chin? Because I would maybe do that. I probably have done that at different parties just to be different. Instead of saying salute or saying cheers and like...
Santé, nastrovia, yeah.
Sure. All right, so we took the Tumbleweed, the Sunflower Series as your blog. And mm-hmm. you can get to that through Facebook or Instagram. It also probably just has its own webpage that it
hosts. So I'm working on a webpage called Role Models International. Mm-hmm. Role Models International, it will show up on Facebook and on Instagram as the umbrella to
okay.
this story. And it's a development in progress where I have other friends from different industries, such as the stylist, a hairdresser from Australia. The stylist is from Stockholm but lived in London, or somebody in advertising who grew up on the left bank of Paris. So all of these people, and there's more, but these people at my age, like at the age of 16, they left their home culture and traveled abroad mm-hmm. for a new in their career. And they have stories similar to me, but they're coming from different backgrounds, different cultures, right. And that has created them through public speaking, through how they dress and how they work through conflicts with people from different nationalities and backgrounds. They have things to share as well, and I really would like to try to get this thing started, how all of us are expressing ourselves. So Role Models International is still in the works.
Okay. And that's kind of like what you're basically doing is providing, let's say, a mentoring service for people that are getting ready to start out in an artistic role that they're not sure where to start.
That's exactly it. And that is an interesting point when you say artistic role, because it wasn't my intention that all of these contributors that I'm asking to be a part of that are authentic, who have actually been through the experiences, it has been through the arts of mm-hmm. some sort, advertising. Mm-hmm. It's a form of art, you know.
Sure.
The hair and all this. It is... they went through artistic fields, mm-hmm. But has... had that empathetic, they've learned so much about themselves and about the world in its own, and that's such an education,
right,
in itself. So
and what a value to someone just starting out to be able to have a sensei or a mentor or some whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. to ask questions or have a forum and say, okay, this is happening in my life. You know, does anyone have any feedback on what maybe I should do or pursue? Or,
right.
You know, or
if there's anything that they can read through these blogs. Okay, mm-hmm. the blog is really in the language, or it tries to reach the teenager, young professional. It's sort of in that kind of vibe in the way that I write these blogs. Mm-hmm. Because I would really like for them to see themselves somehow in these feelings.
Right. It's like a memoir, but... also absolutely. Intended for self-help type of deal too,
or self-relate, let's say that. I don't know, okay. If I will help them. I would love for them to relate so they can help themselves.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's
and whatever really good way to put I can do, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm very happy.
Well, that's really exciting, and I'm you know, really positive vibes on that, and I'll try to set that link up as well as your Tumbleweed link.
I'd love it. So what brings me back to Wichita, okay, mm-hmm. It was family roots and health and situations with my mom, but it's also was the opportunity to give my daughter, who grew up in an international school with expats, and so over there in Greece, where my house is of 20 years after the 10 years in Powers, mm-hmm. but... bringing her back here so she could also have some of this amazing roots, experiences of American high school right here in Midwest USA, mm-hmm. And then give her an opportunity later to say, okay, well, you're coming up on your senior year. You go back to Europe and you go back into this group of people or situations, or do you want to stay here? Well, hands down, she wanted to stay put.
Okay.
But it's been a really fun adventure. Mm-hmm. However, business-wise, it is not so good for me. It's not
lucrative, you mean?
Not smart for right. international model with these people and these experiences to come back to Wichita as far as continuing the same career. One can't right. do that.
Yeah, we don't have the opportunity here that France, Milan, Greece.
Right. So what I have been doing is I've been offering myself volunteering, working, collaborating with local agency here in town. But I am helping out with some upcoming events, like with the Fashion Avant that you guys don't want to miss this on September 20th. And this producer of this event, she is local.
And that's
the designers, Vanya's design. So it's Alicia. She has this vision where she really wants to help celebrate, as I do, local artists, vendors, but really get that art community to say, hey, you know, just like Final Friday. Mm-hmm.
Get that
support. Try to show this Wichita community. Alicia would love to see that artists don't need to feel like they have to leave Wichita. Or how can some of us who have left Wichita and come back, how can we enrich this community?
That's wonderful.
So that we can serve as some sort of mentorship, or
we can continue to grow and mm-hmm. have ideas and mm-hmm. have a value in the world.
Yes.
That's what I want Wichita to do.
Well, and I would like to bring the world to Wichita.
Yeah, that would be great.
I would love to bring that. I'd love to bring the creativity and foundation.
And support, you mm-hmm. know, that support. That I think we get a lot of support from certain part of the community, but there's lots of the community that just is maybe oblivious to the importance of the art in general for a society and culture. And I think the more you talk about it, the more you're able to
Well, and the
to
thing
reach.
That I've observed in these 6 years that I've been here, I have seen the artist community is rich, rich in creativity.
Right.
However, sustainable, I am not sure.
Right.
Because we do need help from corporate society.
Sure.
To want to sponsor and help boost this group of people who are really wanting to be creative. I think we need each other.
Yeah.
Honestly, we need to understand the values and ethics of corporate life.
Sure.
How we would instill that into the artistic
and
profession.
How they can help each other.
Right.
Right.
And how our creativity and experiences and foresight of future changing vibes and trends, how can we help corporate life?
And that discerning eye that an artist has that, you know, regular person, business major like myself, maybe I don't have that. I just see this thing as a standard thing, whereas someone with an artistic background and has seen a lot of very beautiful, top of the line, the best there is out there things, and they can bring that in and kind of cross-culturalize with every day.
Yeah, you totally. Know? Okay, so for example, WSU, Wichita State University,
right.
I ran into some people who are running the business school out there, and we got to chatting. Oh, what have you been doing? You know, where are you from? And so I told them a little bit, you know, about my history, and they were fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
They had this openness to me. No, I don't come with the master's or the undergraduate degree to talk about international relationships. I've lived it.
Right.
I started experiencing it at age 16, and I've lived it all my life, and I celebrate it, and I have so many fun stories that help me speak in front of people, or how I'm going to travel, or how I'm going to manage my budget. Anyways, so they saw something beautiful in me, and they invited me to come speak to this new program that has been piloted, I think, for the past 2 years. Called the Edge Program. And they are bringing in professionals from the community to come speak to their business school at this non-credited program at this point. So business students on their own get to come to the Edge classes, and then they get this extra, you know, certificate that they can put onto their bio. However, so they said, could you come and speak about Role Models International or your idea with Tumbleweed, the Sunflower Series blogging, and just your experiences of how you did business on an international level? How did you speak and work and collaborate with people who are completely different from you? I was like, I can talk about that, you know? So, but they were bringing in FBI people, Coke Industries, a representative, Meritrust, they coming in to speak to this class. I'm like, you're bringing in me, you know, I'm just a model. And so, but however, this 1 hour presentation I was to give at this business school wound up being 2 hours.
Oh, cool.
These kids did not leave. They stayed put, and we talked so much about and had interaction. We did some role play in class, and I kept saying to them, you know, you guys can go if you need to. If you need to be to another class, I don't want to keep you or anything.
Right.
But they were just interested and excited, and their feedback was saying that they would like to see me come back to talk a bit more about table talk and how etiquette or just your experiences, how you will have a conversation during dinner and how interesting it, you know, how important that is in business.
Yeah.
When you can come to a table to spend some time to
not be awkward
and not be awkward and have the strange 5-course meal, but you're not going to look like you never had it before.
Right.
You know what you're doing. You know, you have this.
Give them comfort that you know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And if they're investing in you, anyone's investing in you, they can feel comfortable with their investment.
And what I have to say is hats off to WSU because, you know, they're thinking, well, we need to follow these policies or we need to have this paper or accreditation for, well, they're looking a little bit outside. You know, how are we bringing the community and the people around us into to speak about their personal experiences? Because this might be sometimes a little bit more relevant
right.
in their education versus something that has to be a curriculum that had to be turned in a year in advance.
Right, when that things you're never going to remember later on.
And things are constantly changing. Life is constantly right. changing. Policies are, the way that life is.
Business is changing.
Right,
you know.
So it's ever changing. Right.
So let's go back to the fashion avant-garde that you're doing, you're helping with. Mm-hmm. How are you helping and what's
so
going on there?
So for Fashion Avant on September 20th, there are some local designers and stylists, and they are going to show what local fashion, local creative is in a fashion show. My role is as a model mentor, I've self-labeled that, we did castings and we invited anybody who wants to be a model. And we let the designers cool. choose and say, okay, I can see you in my outfit. I'm letting them choose that. And from there, I was able to serve as just an inspiration for them. I mm-hmm. teach them the foundation of what I've learned that works
putting
on the
on
runway.
The show part, yeah.
Walking, presenting the clothes. How okay. do you turn? What are your best angles?
Right.
Carrying yourself. I mean, I also spoke to the American Heart Association, the Sweethearts.
Cool.
It was Poised at Heart was our program, and that was also about, okay, if these girls are going to be sweethearts and be a representative for the I cannot sit by and let this girl sit over here with hunched shoulders and not right. know how to carry herself in a full-length gown right. for the heart ball. We've got to learn how we're going to sit at the table and make conversation. And these girls are juniors and seniors in high school, and for sure it doesn't come by birth. We don't learn this.
No,
and a lot of households don't care to teach this.
It's not like you go to posture class.
But it is so important in society. Unfortunately, people do look at aesthetics.
They sure do.
And aesthetics is not a bad thing, because aesthetics should represent the person who you are inside. So if you can polish it up a bit, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe do stand up straight and hold your head up high, showing that you're confident.
Heart to heaven.
Heart to heaven. Yeah, I like that. It just will help. It will help open up the door so you can really start a conversation about things that are important to you.
Right.
Or things that you would aspire
and
to do.
And you look more confident, so people think you are more confident.
Oh, and girlfriend, there are so many models who are not confident.
Right.
But you can, pull it off on the runway.
There you go.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So Wine, Woman, and Shoes, it's another thing that I'm going to be a part of upcoming in the next month. There is this Insta-fabulous that is coming up with, it's a fundraiser for the Wichita Art Museum, where
cool.
I get to be a model mentor, and people are invited to come out to this event and learn maybe some Insta. What are your Insta angles? What's your shots
okay.
and what's your angles?
So more for your social media type angle?
Yeah, that's, it's Nancy McAleese who... is the organizer for this event. I'm just going to stand in and be this model mentor.
Advisor.
Right.
Type.
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah,
Instagram,
really cool.
Okay, so that's not really my thing with all the selfies. That's more of a young thing, but that's mm-hmm. what we do nowadays, isn't
okay.
it? However, there are certain angles that might work better for certain face features or body features, and
it's good
why
to
not?
Know. It's good
why
to know.
Not know yeah. some of these things?
Yeah, sure. So you don't look like a, I don't know. I take the wrong angles sometimes, but it's life. delete.
there was this model. Okay, so anyways, I just want to say that. This, I think, is going to be September 29th. That's on a Sunday. So
okay.
that's upcoming, 2 to 4.
Quite a few September things going on. But even now, in August, you're on Splurge.
I am inside Splurge, yeah.
And you guys are at the Botanico.
Mm-hmm.
And you're with a group of people showing other people's clothing lines that
mm-hmm.
they have.
Yeah, so, I got to shoot for a wonderful local store here in town, GM Clothes Horse.
Okay.
And Jody Klein is also the editor there at Splurge, so she invited me to be a part of this photo shoot. It's lovely to be able to have a magazine here in town
yeah.
that can show local fashion. I would love to see more. I don't know if this the city can suffice having, but I'd say the
right.
more the merrier. There are so many different flavors, like ice cream. There's different
sure.
flavors of fashion and reportage of fashion.
Yeah, and it's really nice just to have stores that, you know, that are on the forefront or giving good stylings to people or options of stylings to people. And we don't have like Brooks Brothers here or anything like
that. But we do have Gentry.
There you go.
And that is a great local store here. The gentlemen at Gentry are amazing. Right. And they are world traveled. And
really
they
important to
they
support.
Bring the world to Wichita.
Right.
So they're a wonderful, they're out there in Waterfront. And
Gentry.
They, yeah. Okay. They're a great store for men.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for, and then there's these other locals.
Also, Vanya, they have their own store on Commerce Street.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. and they do customized suits and
and dresses.
Dresses.
Bridal gowns. Dresses, gowns, yep. Yes. She's quite the creator as well. A graduate of Key State, a local girl, and with this vision and foresight of what she can do for people in this community that is bigger than this town itself. So
yeah,
she's a great
really
designer. Miss Diva Jones, you know, she's a lovely designer here that's local.
And of course, Eric Fisher Academy is always supporting people that are trying to be on the forefront
mm-hmm.
of fashion and style. And it's really interesting stuff. Yeah, we got DJ Carbon on there. So mm-hmm. that means the music's going to be just the most newest.
For the fashion event. And, you know, Mr. Christopher Gulick. Now, we have to talk about him because we have designers that are doing clothes and that's their trade. We have a stylist, Handpicked LA, who is sitting there styling. She's also going to be displaying at this fashion show. But Christopher, he is an artist. Yep. He is a sculptor. He has sat in with children in elementary schools and done sculpture classes for fun. And he is now stepping into the fashion world. He wants to put that, he calls it wearable sculpture, I think is what he calls it. He's going to be in the show and have a part where there are big bulky pieces like necklaces or mobiles that somebody
right.
is going to carry and is a woman, you know, so it's walking hand in hand with this piece of sculpture. But there are men and women and tall and short and wide and super skinny. I mean, it's just all types of people that he has coming through to portray his pieces as wearable art.
That's really cool. And
yeah.
I can't wait to see it. So, and that's going to be on September the 20th. And you guys should all go out and see that. And Krista,
yes.
Is there any last words you want to say or anything inspirational that you need to part with? And I can...
You know, I think keeping in touch with your roots. I think that is the biggest, you know, knowing who you are. Enjoy the differences that are around you, but combine it, you know, with where you come from, because there's a reason why you have been brought up the way you were, or you came into a situation that you were growing up. There's something that needs to be told, this story.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it takes us. And I'm still on my journey, and I'm waiting to be inspired by people around me mm-hmm. and excited for the adventures that are ahead in whatever age we are. So I just think go out and have these experiences. Everybody has this opportunity, whether you're wealthy or not. I'd say just take these experiences, but also remember where you came from.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate
my
time.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, and thank you for all you do.
Oh, well, thanks. All right. That's it. Thanks again, Krista, for coming in. It was a pleasure talking to you and meeting you. I can't wait to see what the future holds for you. You can find Krista on her blog, Tumbleweed, the Sunflower Series. I'll provide the link on the bottom of the page. And don't forget to attend Vanya Design Presents Fashion Avant 2019, this September the 20th, Friday, at the Eric Fisher Academy. Tickets are on sale now at eventbrite.com. It looks like a great event. I can't wait to find out how it all comes out and what's going on. Hopefully get some pictures up for you guys. You can catch Krista on the August Splurge. It has the WSU baseball team on it. She's in the middle there in the Fashion Connect section. The photo shoots at Botanica Gardens. We love Botanica. And again, Catch a Pocket has been brought to you by me because I care about you. And I want you to see that the city holds so much more than you even knew. You can reach me at catchapocket@gmail.com. Thanks for everybody who helped make the podcast. Kirk Renstrom for the music and Lisa for allowing me to use it on the show. And I'd also like to thank anyone who supports this podcast and takes the time to give it a listen. I hope you guys catch a pocket you can be proud of. See you next time.